this morning. We'll begin reading here in Galatians chapter 3, and let's begin there in verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, if it be ratified, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, ratified before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. For God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. The blessings promised to Abraham. Abraham lived somewhere in the neighborhood of 4,000 years ago. And yet we're told here that there were blessings promised to Abraham. When you and I read the scriptures, we should never cease to be thankful for the New Testament. That God has given us the New Testament scriptures. Because the same Holy Spirit that moved upon the prophets of old to write the Old Testament, that same Spirit moved upon the apostles and other men to write the New Testament. And the only way to properly interpret the Old Testament, the only way for you and I to read the Old Testament and know for sure what it means, is in the light of the New Testament. And this is so important, and I want to stress this morning. When the New Testament does interpret the Old Testament, let us be content with that interpretation. I have read men, and they read where the Apostle Paul or one of the other apostles interpret the Old Testament, and they begin to question it and debate with it, instead of just bowing down and receiving it. Here's the interpretation of it. Some read when Paul interprets the Old Testament, as he often does, and instead of bowing down to it and being thankful for the interpretation, they question it. And they say, now how can this mean that? I never got that out of the Old Testament when I read it. I don't know if it means that or not. Well, here's the way you and I should look at this. The Holy Spirit comes, as it were, to the Apostle Paul and says, Paul, here's what I said to those prophets a long time ago. I spoke to them and they wrote this word down. And Paul, here's what I meant by that. Here's what you write down. Here's the interpretation of that. We can trust the Apostle Paul's interpretation of the Old Testament. Because the same Spirit with which they wrote with, he interprets with. We interpret Scripture with Scripture. If you and I didn't have the New Testament to interpret the Old Testament, not only would we be at a loss to understand what it meant, we'd err in it. We'd err in it. And here we have a perfect example of this in our text this morning. When we read the Old Testament, that God had promised certain blessings to Abraham, If you and I went back to the Old Testament and read that the Lord had promised that he had blessed Abraham's seed, how would we interpret that? Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your seed after you. Well, here's the way you and I would interpret that. We'd interpret that as belonging to Abraham's natural descendants, the children of Israel. And there is a definite sense in which that's so. But if we stop there and apply the blessing to Abraham's natural descendants, boy, when we looked around us today and saw what was going on with his natural descendants, wouldn't we be discouraged? Because where are they now? And where have they been for the last 2,000 years? We read this in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, where the Lord came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All the families. Not just your natural seed inheriting natural blessings, but all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What were those blessings? Well, you and I have been studying this third chapter, and it was justification, wasn't it? The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. One of the blessings was justification. Another was imputed righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was given to him. What? Righteousness. Imputed to him for righteousness. Now, the book of Genesis, as far as I know, doesn't tell us what those blessings were. I have read there in the book of Genesis where the Lord told Abraham, I'll bless you, I promise to bless you. But you know, we never find out that he told Abraham what that blessing was. But here the Apostle Paul comes and he tells us what those blessings are. He tells us here in verse 14, I read to you, that the blessings that God promised to Abraham might come on the Gentiles. What is that blessing? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You and I never know that if Paul hadn't interpreted that to us, would we? We could have went to the Old Testament and searched and searched and searched what God said to Abraham. But we'd have never known it. Did Abraham know that was what the blessing would be? I don't know. Maybe he did. But we're not told that he told Abraham. And what I'm saying here this morning in regard to the Old and New Testament is this. That God has put so much honor upon the Old Testament scriptures that he tells the Jew and the Gentiles. He tells all the world of all ages, old and young, religious and irreligious, female and male. He tells us all, you're not going to understand the Old Testament except you understand it in the light of the New Testament. That's the only way we can understand it. The eunuch was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah chapter 53. And Philip went to him and said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I? Somebody has to interpret this to me. And Philip interpreted the Old Testament to him. He began and preached Jesus unto him. Jesus that's revealed to us in the New Testament. How can I know what the Old Testament said? Except somebody interpreted it to me. How can you and I know what the Old Testament means if the New Testament doesn't tell us what it means? Well, the Jews said, and they still say today, at least some of the Orthodox Jews do, we have the Old Testament. We have the Old Testament. And they did, and they do. But they'll never understand it if they don't look at the New Testament and interpret the Old Testament by it. The Old Testament and the New Testament are one. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Just one foundation. And God has joined the apostles and prophets together. And what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. What was the blessings promised to Abraham? Here in verse 14, we have it in a nutshell. And what was it? It was the Holy Spirit. That the promise of God to Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And as you read the New Testament, sometimes you read of the promise. Or sometimes the Spirit is called the Spirit of promise. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was ready to ascend back to heaven? And He was speaking to His apostles. And He said, "Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you." I send the promise. What is that? Well, right here it is. It's the Spirit. And He said, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you." That was the promise. The promise of My Father. He's going to send it upon you. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter was preaching to those Jews, and he said, "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And then he said this, "For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all them that be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." The promise of what? The promise of the Holy Spirit. The blessing that God promised to Abraham would come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ by faith. And Paul was writing to the Ephesians in Ephesians 1 and 12. And he said, "You've believed in Christ. You've trusted Christ. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." So all through the Bible, He's a promise Spirit. And He's come and He dwells in every last believer today. He's the promise Spirit. So the blessings that God promised to Abraham, they were spiritual blessings. They weren't carnal blessings. Abraham would be the father of all of those who believed. Now that's the spiritual blessing. It's through faith that we become Abraham's children. Through faith we're justified. Through faith we have righteousness. And through faith we have the Holy Spirit. Through faith we're the children of Abraham. Now that's the blessing. That's the blessing. Salvation comes to us because it was promised to us. And when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we become children of Abraham. Not natural seed. We'll never be the natural seed of Abraham. We're Gentiles. But as soon as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we become Abraham's children. We become Abraham's seed. Remember when the Lord Jesus was going through Jericho and Zacchaeus was up in the tree trying to get a glimpse of Him? And the Lord came there at that tree and stopped and looked up at Him and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Today I must abide at your house." And he made haste and came down. And the Scripture says he received the Lord joyfully. Believed on Him. Put his trust in Him. And he said, "Lord, half of my goods I'll give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anybody by false accusation, I'll restore them fourfold." And the Lord said, "This day is salvation come to your house." And remember what else He said to him? "Because you're a child of Abraham." You're a child of Abraham. How did he know that he is a child of Abraham? There was all kinds of children of Abraham around there. There was all kinds of Jews around there. They weren't children of Abraham. Not in the sense that Zacchaeus was. Why did the Lord say to him, "You're a child of Abraham"? He was a spiritual child of Abraham. Well, how so? Because he received Christ joyfully. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's what made him a child of Abraham. These spiritual blessings. Zacchaeus was a child through faith. I don't mean to undervalue the temporal and natural blessings that God promised to Abraham's natural descendants. He did promise Abraham's natural descendants blessings. They were blessed greatly. The Lord gave them the land of Canaan, wells that were already dug, houses already built, vineyards already planted. He gave them the law. He gave them the oracles, His word, the priesthood. Those were blessings, but they were all carnal blessings. And they were all temporal blessings. Most of them did not profit from these blessings. Most of them died in unbelief, without Christ. And when He came, what did they do? They rejected Him. They were the natural seed of Abraham, and God had blessed them physically, but they weren't partakers of the spiritual blessing. And that's what we're studying about, isn't it? These spiritual blessings. God promised Abraham spiritual blessing. And there come a time to the children of Israel, Abraham's natural seed, when these temporal blessings ceased. They lost their temple, they lost their priesthood, they lost their privileges, and they were scattered throughout the world. Just began to regather in 1948 when they became a nation again. So these blessings that you and I are looking at this morning, they're not physical blessings. They're not carnal blessings. They're spiritual blessings. Only those who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Ye are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you're Abraham's seed. You're heir of these promises that God gave to Abraham. These spiritual promises. All of us this morning should be thankful for our natural blessings. Boy, the Lord has blessed all of us. There's not a person here this morning but what can say, God has been good to me. All of us can say that. What degree of health we've got, He's given it to us. It's winter time now, and He sent His cold upon us. But soon the sun will start warming the earth up. Spring will come. We'll plant our gardens. We'll have fruitful seasons, and how the Lord's blessed us. He's blessed us. He's blessed us so much. And we should be so thankful that every day the sun rises upon us. That's God's blessing. When He sends the rain upon us, that's His blessing. Gives us job, gives us income, gives us children and grandbabies. How God has blessed every one of us with natural, carnal, spiritual blessings. They're just temporary, but they're blessings, aren't they? And we ought to be thankful for them. But I tell you, there are blessings. There are those spiritual blessings. There are those everlasting blessings. Those heavenly blessings that you and I can't live without.
Yes, that's right.
And here's what He said. Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. There's what we're talking about this morning. Things that are eternal. Things that will never end. Israel shall be saved in the Lord Jesus Christ with an everlasting salvation. Eternal life that they'll never lose. And you shall never be ashamed, He said. You'll never be confused. You'll never be confounded. World that has no end. That's what I'm concerned about this morning. And that's what the Apostle Paul here is teaching us. These spiritual blessings that was promised to Abraham. Now, why in this world, as we read verse 14, would people such as we are be blessed with such blessings? Why in the world as we read verse 14, people such as we are, be blessed with such blessing. That the blessing promised to Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's what we are. We're just dead dog Gentiles. We're not keepers of the law. We don't even know what the law requires of us. We were led away into dumb idols. Dead dog Gentiles. That's all we were then. That's all we are now. Dead dog Gentiles. But God has blessed us. He's blessed us. He blessed us with His Spirit there. That's what all this is in a nutshell. What is salvation all about? It's about the Spirit of God's Son coming to us and regenerating us. Giving us a new heart, a new life, new loves, new desires. And crying, Father, Father, we have a new God. We have a new Father. Have a new Savior. He's blessed us. And why in the world can you and I own such promises this morning? Well, He gives us two reasons. First of all, for this reason, and you and I aren't ashamed of this reason, we believe Christ. We believe Christ. That's why this blessing's come to us. He's the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be blessed. We're not ashamed of that, are we? We enjoy the blessings of God this morning because we believe Him. We believe Him. Look over here with me in 1 Thessalonians. Look at this scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look here in verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7. Why would God bless such a dead dog Gentiles as you and I are? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Well, I tell you why. And this is a reason that you and I don't have to be ashamed of or draw back from. It's because we believe Him. We believe Him. Believe the record He gave of His Son. You remember when the three Hebrew children had been thrown in the fiery furnace? And it had no effect on them? And the king Nebuchadnezzar took them out of the furnace? And here's what he said. Here's what he said. He said, God has sent His angels and delivered you from us. Well, why would He do that? Because they trusted in Him. Ain't that what he said? God has sent His angel and delivered them because they trusted in Him. You believe in the Lord. You believe in Jesus Christ as He's revealed on the pages of this Word, and I tell you, you'll be blessed. God will bless you for it. Now, we're not ashamed of that, are we? There's no merit in faith. When people say you try to make faith your Savior, no, the object of faith is our Savior. But there's only one way to get that Savior. There's only one way to get these blessings of God, and that's believing. That's believing for it. And when we stand there on the day of judgment, there'll be two classes of people there, believers and unbelievers. The believers will be set on the right, and the unbelievers will be set on the left. And one of the reasons they'll be there is for this reason. You believe me. You honored me. You give credit to me. You believe me. There's nothing wrong with faith. My neighbor told me one time, said, you put too much stock in faith. Man alive, there ain't no other way to be saved. Ain't no other way to be blessed but to believe God for it. Faith is not human merit. Faith gives credit to God. Faith is self put down and the Lord exalted. There's nothing wrong with saying, I believe God. Brethren, I believe God. It's going to be just like He said it would be. I'm telling you, you can say that in your heart. You're a blessed man. God's blessed you. What did the Hebrew writer say? He that comes to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. You believe Him. You'll be blessed. He'll bless you himself. Look at what he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. Look at this. We're blessed this morning because we believe. We believe through grace. We believe. To you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that believe not the gospel, they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. And look at this. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. We believe him, don't we? And because we believe him, he's blessed us. He's blessed us. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's what faith does. It just simply gives God the glory and the credit that he does. That's due his name. God, this is what you said, and I believe you. That's the way you honor him, and he'll bless you for doing it. He'll bless you for doing it. So first of all then, why should such dead dog Gentiles as you and I receive such spiritual and heavenly blessing? Well, we believe it. We believe it. And over here in our text in Galatians chapter 3 is another reason. Here's another reason we're blessed with these spiritual blessings. And it precedes our faith. It goes ahead of our faith. One of the reasons is he blesses us because we believe him. But here the Apostle Paul gives another reason for our being blessed. And it goes a long, long way before we is even born. And look what he says there in verses 15, verse 18. He said, because this blessing was promised to somebody else on our behalf. Ain't that what he said? To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Abraham lived 4,000 years ago or so. And you and I are blessed today, Glenn, because he promised it to Abraham and his seed. And Paul says he gives it here in verse 15 in the form of a covenant. I speak after the manner of men. He said, just look around you at the men who are making covenants. You and I know something about a covenant, don't we? It's an agreement, sometimes between two parties. We know something about that. We entered into a covenant of marriage. Until death do we part. And that's a covenant that we made with our wives, and our wives have made with us. That's a covenant, an agreement. You men that's worked at a union shop, you know what a covenant is. You enter into an agreement, and it's ratified. That agreement is ratified. And no man can disannul it. Supposedly. Shouldn't be able to. If the laws stand behind it like they should, you can't disannul that covenant. You can stick to it. It's been ratified. And no man can add to it. And here, in verses 16 and following, this covenant comes to us in the form of a promise. It can mean a simple promise. And here's what Paul is saying. God promised to Abraham 4,000 years ago now that I'll bless the Gentiles. I'm going to bless the Gentiles. I'm going to bless all nations. Abraham, I promise you that. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Abraham and thee shall all nations be blessed. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, Abraham, surely bless him. I will bless thee and multiply, and I'll multiply thee. He promised Abraham. But he didn't stop there, did he? He didn't just promise Abraham. Look what else he said in verse 17. And this I say. No, in verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Who's that? Who is that? Is that his natural descendants? Well, Paul tells us who it is. He saith not as and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. God promised Christ he'd bless us. And look what he said down in the last portion of verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. He made it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just to Abraham, but to Christ. God promised Christ that he would give these spiritual blessings to us dead dog Gentiles. And when did he promise these blessings to us? When did he promise? 430 years before he gave the law there upon Mount Sinai. 430 years before he gave the law, he gave a promise that he would bless. Now what's Paul saying? Well, let me look at it, consider it this way with me. Here's what he's saying. Here I come now. Here I come. I walk up to the Apostle Paul. And I say, Paul, there's no hope for me. I'm a dead dog Gentile. I've been a sinner against this law all my life. And when I finally come to see how strict it was, I tried to keep it. But the more I try to keep it, the more it curses me. And now it's almost driven me to utter despair and darkness. I can't be blessed of God because I'm a dead dog Gentile and I'm a sinner against this law. Therefore I can't be blessed. I've never been circumcised. And I've never kept the law of Moses. Therefore I'm hopeless. What does Paul say to me? No, no, no. There's hope for you. Sure you're a dead dog Gentile. Sure you're a sinner against the law of Moses. Yes, you've broken it. But though you have broken, that law cannot hinder God blessing you with these heavenly blessings. Why? Because he determined to bless because of a promise. Not by your keeping the law, not by your keeping holy days and ceremonies and being circumcised, but because of his promise. He blessed you for the promise sake. For the promise sake. The blessing does not come through the law. Or our keeping the law. Or our performing religious duties. But these blessings. These heavenly blessings. These everlasting blessings. Comes to us by way of a promise. That was given 430 years. Before the law was ever given. Ain't that a blessing? Here come these Jews down here now, and you can see why they were such a reproach to Christ. They come to these Galatian believers, and they said, God cannot bless you, and he will not bless you with these blessings, except now you be circumcised and convert to the Jewish way of living. And regulate your daily life by the strict law of Moses. God will not bless you. And God cannot bless you. Because you haven't kept his law. You want God's blessings? Then be circumcised. You want God's blessings? Then keep the Sabbath days. Keep these holy days. And by this wretched teaching, they took Christ and the promises clean away. And Paul said, therefore, if you're going back to the law now to try to earn God's blessings, Christ shall profit you nothing. Because these blessings were promised to Christ, not to Moses. If you're going to have life through the law, then you better keep the law. And you better keep it perfectly. But if you're going to have that life that comes by grace, then you're going to have to look to Christ for that. Because that life was promised to Him, not Moses. And how do I know that life is promised to me? When I look to Christ for it. And I look to the promised. And don't try to earn it by my works, my religious activity. God will bless us freely, brothers and sisters. He'll graciously give us His Holy Spirit. I preach that to every man, lost and saved. We have a free gospel. We can preach it to anybody. Go into all the world and preach this gospel. God will freely and graciously give His Spirit to any man and every man who comes and believes according to the promise. If we put the promise from us and turn to our own strength and our own religious efforts to be saved, then God will require of us to fulfill every jot and tittle of the law. And at last we'll be cursed and damned forever. Here in verse 17, Paul says the promise was made to Christ 430 years before the law. But he's saying that because our understanding is so weak. God has to deal with us in time. He can't deal with us in heavenly language. We can't understand it. So He has to set these times and dates that He does things so you and I can relate to it. So He comes here and He says to Abraham and to Christ were the promises made 430 years before the law. But really and honestly, when was the promise made to Christ? Look over here in Titus and let me show you. Look here in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. God promised the Lord Jesus, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless the Gentiles. I promise you. I'm going to bless the Gentiles. I'm going to give them your Holy Spirit. I'm going to make them righteous. I'm going to give them life eternal. When did He promise that to Christ? Look in Titus chapter 1 and look in verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised when He promised it to Christ. To Abraham and his seed, He promised it. When did He promise? Before the world began. We weren't even there, were we? Nobody was there. Maybe not even the angels at this time when God promised this to the Lord Jesus Christ. See how sure the promise is? If you're trying to work your way into God's presence, if you're trying to earn God's favor with what you're doing, you'll never get there. You'll never get there. But I'm telling you, if you look to the promise, look to the promise. That's where God blesses, according to the promise. Now look back quickly. This is my last point here on verse 18. Galatians 3:18. If the inheritance be of the law, it's no more a promise. Because God gave it to Abraham by promise. Now here Paul in verse 18, he uses a covenant in a little different light. We see it here in a little different light. Before we said, you know, a covenant can be agreement between two or more parties. A man and his wife, a company and the union and so on. And then it's a promise offered, or a promise made. I don't like that word offered. Forgive me for saying that. It's a promise made. God didn't tell Abraham, I offer you a promise, did He? That's awful. Oh my goodness. I'll have to go home and repent of that for sure. But here we see it as an inheritance. And Paul has a point to prove here too, a very comforting point. That the promises are not earned because it comes to us in a way of man inheritance. And that's what we see there in verse In verse 18, if the inheritance, and look in verse 29, if ye be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You're heirs. Look over here with me in another scripture. I quote this to you, but I want you to read it. I want you to read it. In the book of Hebrews, instead of calling this covenant a covenant, in Hebrews 9, the writer of Hebrews sometimes calls it a testament. And that's the way our translators translated this. They could have translated a covenant, but I think they had a good reason for translating it testament. It's where we get our word and our ideal of the last will and testament. If Glenn and Jean are going to leave Trenton and Terrence their possessions, they make out a will. It's a last will and testament. It tells what you own, Glenn, your possessions, and it tells who you're going to leave those possessions to. And that last will and testimony is no good. You can't have it, and you can't have it until he and her dies. You got to die. And then it becomes force. They go read the will, the last will, and they give Trenda, they give Terrence what the will says they should have. And that's the way Paul is looking at this here. Now look what he says in Hebrews chapter 9. Look here in verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, Christ entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. There it is, a testament. That by means of his death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were against the first covenant, the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of what? Eternal inheritance. Where's that blessing again? See how eternal it is? Spiritual blessing. Everlasting blessing. For where a testament is, if there's a last will and testament been drawn up, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator, he that wrote the will. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. What's Paul saying here to us in our text? He's saying these promises that God promised Christ, these blessings, you don't receive them by working for them. They come to us by way of inheritance. You don't work to get an inheritance, do you? Terrence and Trenda, they ain't going to inherit what Gene and Glenn has because they've earned it. If they earn it, it ceases to be an inheritance. Glenn's the one that earned it. They're his possessions. He simply sat down and says, I'm going to leave what I have to them. And what Paul is proving to us here, these blessings, they are in the hands of Christ. The Father loves the Son and give everything into his hands. And it's through his death, his last will and testament, that he says what these blessings are and who gets them. Now see how silly it is for somebody to come up and say, yeah, but I earned them. I kept the law. I kept feast days. I was circumcised. That's why God blessed me. No, if you're blessed of God, you're blessed because Jesus Christ had these possessions and he willed them to you. That's why you're blessed. A long time ago. And these blessings of God to us, what do they come out of? His death. his death. He was made a curse for us, that these blessings promised might come upon you and I, dead dogs, Gentiles. That's why we're blessed, amen. That's why we're blessed. We don't jump up and say, boy, look at us. No, we lift our eyes to heaven and say, God, thank you. Thank you for the promise. Thank you for the promise. Look not at yourselves this morning. Don't look at yourself. All you'll see there is utter weakness. Don't look to the law and your obedience to it. All you'll see there is utter failure and guilt. Look to the promise. Look to the promise. Believe Him and you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. Let us pray. Thank you.